Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Bet the Board ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Looking to instantly upgrade your Mother's Day gift from typical to meaningful? Shop Etsy. Get up to 30% off well-crafted and personalized gifts from participating shops until May 12th. This year, embrace your creative side. You know, the side your mom gave you. And shop Etsy for custom jewelry, style pieces, home decor, and extra special items she'll adore. Need something original and affordable for Mother's Day? Etsy has it. Shop until May 12th for up to 30% off gifts for mom. Terms apply.
Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. The time is now more than ever to embrace the breathtaking, sinister, and shocking tales that can enthrall you, especially with brand new exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors who are guaranteed to keep you gripped, like Amy Tintera's Listen for the Lie. With exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors, captivating sound design, and dynamic performances, Audible brings these stories to life like never before. And as a member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500. That's audible.com/WonderyPod or text WonderyPod to 500-500.
Bet the Board presents Stay Green. Stay Green is your first stop for all the metrics, matchups, and money-making opportunities at the track each race week. This is Stay Green, the NASCAR Betting Podcast. Here are your hosts, Todd Furman and racing analyst Chris Wormy.
The track, too tough to tame, proved just that last Sunday as the field got shuffled up late. We'll, of course, get into that on the show, but NASCAR history to be made this weekend for the All-Star Race. Welcome in to a fresh episode of Stay Green, a Bet the Board podcast, part of the Wondery Podcast Network. I'm your host, Todd Furman, joined, as always, by my racing colleague and professional sports bettor, Chris Wormy. And Wormser, you and I have grown accustomed to taking losses on the chin. It's part of what we do on a week-in, week-out basis. But sometimes you and I let the losses linger a little bit more than the 5 to 7 minutes we allot ourselves. And I feel like last Saturday was the perfect illustration of a race that we handicapped exactly the way it was supposed to go. And the NASCAR gambling god said, au contraire, we're going to shuffle up the field and make you boys pay through the teeth.
Well, Saturday actually was good. That was Larson coming back to win.
All right, last Sunday. Well, you know what? That's even better than better illustration. We got one to go our way on Saturday, and they went, you know what? We're not going to let you live good, clean living all weekend long. We're going to just pull it right the rug right out from under you. But go ahead. Share with the listeners exactly how our racing card unfolded.
This one hurt. Yeah, I guess let's go full disclosure. We went 2 positions on Larson, 1 position on Chastain, and 1 position on Truex. Didn't fare very well. and this one was hard. And I guess we can kind of get into just the psychology of doing this for a living. And, you know, it's not easy to pick winners. It's not easy to be on the right side. Even for us guys that have been doing it for a while, it's really, really hard. And we know that there's late race variance, and I cannot tell you how bummed out I was to see our guys wreck each other. And you know, it was almost bound to happen. My dad even texted me. He goes, this isn't going to end well. And I'm like, oh man, if my dad can see that coming from a mile away.
The first time there was a caution, we went, all right, I think we dodged a bullet. And then we go up. I don't think this is going to work out so well the second time through. Seeing Chastain put his fender to the bumper of Kyle Larson. And as we know in NASCAR, 8 wheels are always better than 4. And starting on the inside did not quite work out the way we drew it up. We'll get into that in a minute or two. For all the listeners here, no, we don't just bitch about bad beats. If this is the first time you're landing on the Stay Green podcast, It's our way of providing a postmortem for everything we learned or didn't learn the previous week in stage one. Stage two, a little bit different this week. It's normally about NASCAR betting basics, but this will be about a contest that's really gained some traction on social media, put out by Dale Earnhardt's podcast network, Dirty Mo. And we allowed Chris to get his fingers dirty in terms of setting odds, and he'll make a, you know, interesting revelation there a little bit later in the program. And then stage three, all about handicapping the upcoming race, albeit this week providing some challenges very different than what we'll see on a week in, week out basis as we go to historic North Wilkesboro. But when we look at that Sunday race, Worm, I mean, like you said, we go through, you try and get your money in good, grab the best of the number, and build a portfolio of outrights, top threes, top fives, top tens, and head-to-head matchups that you think are going to work out. And then, as we know, the podcast is named Stay Green for a reason. If it had done so, all things would have come up smelling like roses. Unfortunately, with our best bets, we go 1-1. We lose a race day matchup, although that wasn't because of the late race caution. And it just changes the psychology and the dynamic, where in this sport, more so than a lot of other sports that we'll bet on a week-to-week basis, the best car doesn't always win the race.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, we saw, I think, kind of like the race where Truex kind of dominated it, and then the second half of the race where Truex was kind of working his way back up through the field, and you saw Chastain and Larson kind of start to be the best two cars. Now, here, something interesting about this Truex car, I mean, he was dominant. He was able to pull away where Larson and Chastain weren't able to. I mean, he got out to like a 4-second lead at some point. I mean, Truex was super fast, but what we've seen with cars that lead early in these races is they don't have the adjustability built in, and they're not able to work their way back up through the field. And they fall back to 7th, 8th, or 9th. They just hop on the radio and just start bitching. Whereas you look at the guys that have made a lot of mistakes that we have bet on, the guys like Larson, Chastain, Hamlin, they know what it's like to be back there. They know the adjustability that they need to work into their car to make passes on fast cars. I mean, there's a big difference between passing, you know, JJ Yaley, you know, trying to stay on the lead lap, and then trying to pass William Byron for fourth. And, you know, that disturbed air, it's really hard to pass. And you saw Martin Truex just not be able to recover. I don't know that his car was even damaged that much. It was just, hey, this car is not good in traffic, but man, out front, it was certainly a lot of fun. However, when you have it, when it's so tough to pass, these restarts become so important, because I think if Chastain gets clear there, late race with, you know, even with, you know, 20 to go, or there was a caution with like 17 to go, I still think that Chastain probably wins that race, even though I don't think his car was as good as Larson's. But it's just so hard to pass. These restarts are so important that if you feel like you got a Dora guy, I kind of don't blame them for that. I do think that execution was pretty poor on Chastain's part. I mean, he was almost clear of Larson when he tried to door him, which is the recipe for getting T-boned and getting turned. So, but I just think that, you know, a big thing about these guys that just lead laps early, I have not seen a guy lead a ton of laps early and then fall back and then drive back through the field. They can win back on a restart, like you saw with William Byron at Phoenix, but you know, we've seen it time and time again, guys out there leading laps and not being able to run back through the field.
Yeah, you always want that number one pit stall, so you want to qualify in the pole, but you almost wonder if you'd rather start in that 7th or 8th position, see how you can hold up in traffic, be able to make those adjustments to your car, and then if you're able to get to clean air late, we know that becomes the great equalizer, because I'm almost convinced a 31st place car in the next gen era can actually run up front in clean air, at least early on. Of course, at a high tire wear track like Darlington, you saw some comers and goers late. But, you know, all the cars, for the most part, at least on race day, felt like they experienced very similar fall off until you got 30, 40, even 50 yeah. laps into some of those runs. So it did change the dynamic. But you mentioned Ross Chastain, and of course, that was the storyline coming out of Darlington, like it's been so many weeks. He still leads the series in points, or at least I think he does. The bottom line is he's got a fast car every single week. And Ross Chastain, over the last season plus, now has just 2 wins to his credit. One coming at a race at COTA that was kind of his coming out party, and another one coming on a super speedway at Talladega. Somewhere he's got to win on these ovals if he's going to be a legitimate championship contender. And I think when you're drawing the ire of Rick Hendricks, who came out publicly and made a statement about all the cars that Chastain has torn up, and for the first time all season, and even going back to last year, Justin Marks admitted that he needs to get involved, that they've had these discussions with Ross Chastain. So clearly the age-old adage of if it's not broke, don't fix it, no longer the case, at least in the one camp.
Well, I think that this is a simple phone call. I think you know, Cliff Daniels made it loud and clear that this is a Chevy partner that's wrecked us three times. And I'm pretty sure, I mean, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure if Rick Hendrick asked how many cars or how many Chevrolet cars, you know, Justin Marks is selling, you know, ask that question of Chevrolet, I'm pretty sure that someone can make a phone call there to, I guess, make Rick feel whole, or Mr. H feel whole. How dare I call him?
Do you think if that's the case, Justin Marks goes, hold on 1 second, I'll get Pitbull on the other line, and Mr. Worldwide decides to pick up the phone call, and it's him and Mr. H having a full blown business discussion about the best practices and how things are going to work in terms of moving merch.
I don't even think that there was any conversation between Mr. H and Justin Marks. I'm pretty sure that Chevrolet was the conduit for all communication back and forth. And listen, I know that obviously Hendrick's going to be biased, but he's right. You need people to pull over. I think it was like the 2014 Darlington race was on the other night, and it was so different to watch because faster cars would come up on, let's just say, the fourth place car, and Casey Kane just pulled over and was like, hey, I am not going to burn up my stuff. And you don't see that anymore.
Hard to pass, because if you let somebody by, you can't pass them back when they burn up their stuff, because everybody is burning their equipment at a similar rate.
Yeah, I know. And so this is one of those things where the car in the package, there's a reason Ross Chastain is up front week in and week out. And that's because he's the most aggressive driver. Like you cannot give an inch on these restarts. And we've seen it. We've seen it all of last year. We've seen it all of this year. And that's why he's leading the points. But now everyone's racing him hard. I mean, he washed Larson up the track earlier in the race, or on that, I think, the third to last restart, or whenever Kyle Larson dropped back to fourth. I mean, he used his ass up and Larson dropped back to fourth. Well, as soon as Larson had the lead, he goes, well, I'm going to take the inside. I'm going to use his ass up. And then Ross somehow, first of all, I hope people watch the race. They're listening to this, because it looked to me like Ross jumped that last restart too.
Oh, 100%. The second to last. Like, they called down and they said there was nothing wrong there. And I think on some level that actually pissed off the HMS camp as much as anything else.
Oh, I mean, and then he gets then he gets lane choice and he's like, well, I'm going to take the inside and wash him up. Like it was, it kind of turned gimmicky at the end. And you know, not my favorite Darlington race. The fall off was all uniform. And you brought this up, like what you want fall off, but you want some cars that have less fall off than others. You just don't want everyone to fall off a 10th a lap. And then, you know, everyone's just the same as they were when they started. So hopefully we get, I think this week will be much different. I think the fall off will be different there, but you know, I do like Rick saying something, because I think Ross is a great driver. I really do. And I don't want to take anything away from him. Yeah, he's pissed me the hell off the last couple of weeks. But man, you want him to be successful too. And when he's not only wrecking, you know, Chevrolet partners, but he's also finishing 29th, when he could have just taken a fifth or sixth place or a third or fourth place, because William Byron didn't have a top five car, in my opinion, and he stole a win because of it. So just got to put yourself in positions. And Ross isn't winning.
That's the big problem in all this. I mean, if Ross is winning races, you can tolerate a heck of a lot more. But at this point, he's got to find ways not just to start well, but to finish well on top of all of it. Yep. And that's where, in my opinion, the bigger problems start to stem from. But you mentioned, you know, comers and goers and all that. For all the talk about Ross Chastain and Kyle Larson, we can close the book on stage one. You see a consummate veteran in Kevin Harvick, who know he doesn't have the car, and rather than racing William Byron up the track, just goes, yeah, I didn't have a car. I was content with my second place finish. I know my nose was damaged, and he allows the 24 to pull off and go sailing into victory like the 24 has done, and seems to be the one beneficiary every time that there's a late race restart or chaos. Not that the 24 hasn't shown speed week in, week out, but if we know things are going to get shuffled up late, the 5 is going to get shuffled back to the end of the longest line, and it's the 24 going to come through smelling like roses.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Yeah. I mean, he's basically taking a page out of the Nines book from last year. I mean, to win championships, you just can't get those. You can't take the best car and finish 29th. You know, it's like, just don't make mistakes. And if you're there at the end, you can win a lot of races. He did it at Phoenix. He does it this week. And I think that, you know, that's kind of the recipe to get yourself deep into the playoffs is just don't have these DNFs or these late race, you know, just giving up a bunch of spots, because, man, it really comes back to bite you towards the end of the season when every point matters. So I hats off to the 24 team. You know, they were probably, I don't even know who the fourth best car was, but the top three, I think, were unequivocally the 5, the 1, and the 19. And it doesn't really matter who the fourth best car was. It was just the guy that managed the race the best and chased it last year. And you're seeing it staying in the same camp with the Hendrick guy. But this time it's the 24 and William Byron.
There's a lot to be said about staying cool, calm, and collected to try and accumulate points that'll pay dividends once you get into the 10-week sprint that is the NASCAR Cup playoffs. We'll wave the green, white, checkered flag and close the book on stage one. You can follow Chris on Twitter. That's at ChrisWormy15. I'm Todd Furman. You can follow me there. And most importantly, follow all things Bet the Board at Bet the Board Pod. We actually did drop our first college football preview podcast of the season earlier this week. So for all of you that find yourself as diehard North Texas, Rice, or UTSA fans, the American Athletic Preview with Brad Powers will eat up about an hour of your time and get you in the right mindset to get you focused on the college football season. That's a shade less than 4 months away. On to stage two we go, Worm, and this is where you made your first foray, so to speak, into making odds. And you texted me, and your text to me was what when you had to embark on this particular exercise? Well,
this is a little harder than I thought it was going to be. I mean, it's one thing to just go through a list of futures and go, well, that's a little off, that's a little off, that's a little off, and then fire. It's another thing to, like, actually have to price those that are not off. And it was a little harder than I anticipated. And now I have a great respect.
It's all about building a market. You had to do it once for an 8-car field. So the fact you have new respect, you know, clearly means the world to all the sportsbook operators and directors out there that you like to pick apart on a weekly basis. So what we decided to do, for those folks who haven't followed along, Denny Hamlin does a podcast as part of Dirty Mo Media called Actions Detrimental. And Denny suggested that in order for NASCAR to create some additional buzz during the dog days of summer, that they should start an NCAA tournament style bracket where they seed the field drivers 1 to 32, and it's single elimination, and then offer a prize potentially down the road. Now, while it's not manifesting itself on track in reality, it's still been fun to monitor and see some of the unpredictable nature based on a little bit of erratic seeding that came purely off the standings. So what we decided to do after the round of 16 got reduced down to the round of 8 is set outright odds. I tweeted those out. Chris tweeted those out as well. And when you look at some of the matchups going into North Wilkesboro, this is a contest that'll resume at Charlotte, theoretically. It'll get followed up at Gateway for the Final Four, and the head-to-head championship matchup will do a little road course racing at Sonoma up there in Wine Country. So when we put together the odds, it was looking at some of the matchups that were out there. As far as the Elite Eight are concerned, Ross Chastain, as the number one overall seed, matched up with Brad Keselowski, the number 9 seed. It was Bubba Wallace, the 21 seed, with a grossly underseeded Chase Elliott coming in at 29 on one half of the bracket. Kevin Harvick is the 3 seed, matched up with William Byron as the 11. Denny Hamlin, the 7, somehow was able to escape getting knocked out by Kyle Larson, but we've already cried over that spilled milk enough. Yeah. And then the 15 seed, we'll just call the 48 car because we're not sure who's going to be in it when we get to the Coke 600 in a couple weeks. So what we did is we elected to set odds on some of those. And Worm, you can share with the listeners how you decided to go about making one particular driver the favorite and who might be the long shot on the board, and a little bit peeling back the curtain in terms of how you arrived at some of these conclusions.
So the first thing I did, and I don't know if this is right or wrong, I'm probably exposing my my lack of odds making when I said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and set the price for Ross for for the next three matchups, right? So I made him minus 175 against Brad for the Coke 600 at Charlotte. I would have made him a heavier favorite if it weren't such a long race and just a battle of attrition. I think that prices should actually be a little bit closer in that race, because you start you practice in the day, you start the race in the day, and you have a whole nother stage like after you think the race should be over. So conditions change so much. We've seen so much happen in that race from start to finish that I think that you kind of have to keep the odds a little bit tighter and not have just the favorites be as heavy a favorite. So I only made Ross minus 175. Okay, perfect. Then I had, Bubba and Elliott, whoever were to come out of that Bubba and Elliott, kind of hypothetically, I make Ross a heavy favorite over both of them at Gateway. Not that I think, I do think he should be a pretty heavy favorite over Bubba at Gateway, but maybe not as much as Elliott. So I kind of made this price about minus 150. And then I took Ross would probably be a pick'em at Sonoma. And then I took a parlay calculator and figured out what those prices should be. And it gave me like a 3.75 to one ish based on those prices. And that was kind of my starting point. Todd, is that where I should have started?
You know, it's a little bit different here, I think, when you look at it, because obviously trying to forecast what would be the head-to-head price two races down the road, you have to build in a little level of variance. So oftentimes, for me, when I was setting top-line markets, and granted, I haven't done it for anybody to be able to bet into in quite some time, it was kind of reverse engineering the market. We had strict parameters in place in terms of what they wanted the theoretical hold to be. I knew which drivers were in the case that I set markets for football teams. I wanted to make the favorite, and I would typically set them lower than where I thought I was going to settle, because the goal in all of it is putting a little bit of your opinion into the market as much as anything else, so you can kind of steer the action accordingly. And if you think that Ross Chastain is the guy to beat, and you feel, for example, his true odds based on the permutations and the calculations you did should be 4.5 or 5 to 1. Well, I'm not going to give that out to bettors. I want to do everything I can to discourage them from betting from Ross. So I drop him a little bit lower, and it's subsequently thereafter figuring out how you can create value. The interesting part about futures markets, whether it's golf for the PGA Championship, whether it's, odds to win the Super Bowl, whether it's a NASCAR race on a week-to-week basis, you can think you have the best thought process out there. As soon as you hang those odds and you start taking bets, your opinion is worth exactly one bet. Because if I'm taking a ton of money on a driver priced at 10 to 1 and nobody's betting into my favorites, I could be patting myself on the back where I'm going, you know what? This is exactly what I want, is that if Ross Chastain wins, I absolutely clean up. Well, what happens if, Ross Chastain gets sick and doesn't compete?
Sure.
Suddenly I have a ton of liability going to Brad Keselowski. So you have to move aggressively. And you see the sharper sportsbook operators that are doing things the right way, they keep their theoretical hold pretty consistent from when they open the market till when they close it, because they're constantly treating their odds like a teeter-totter. They take a bet on a favorite, they move a long shot up. They take a bet on a long shot, they move some of the favorites up. And it's always jockeying things around, looking for that perfect formula. So for something like this, where you have 8 live runners and you have that element of unpredictability going into it, look, you couldn't make anybody a 50-to-1 shot, because Bubba has actually shown speed, who's our long shot and has 2 top 5 finishes to his credit. And you look at some of the upcoming races, while we may not believe Bubba is going to be that competitive at Sonoma, what happens if Bubba is matched up with Josh Berry? Suddenly that's a much different dynamic than if we're talking about Bubba in a head-to-head with, say, a Chase Elliott or a Kevin Harvick that we know could perform a little bit better on road courses.
Yeah, I think that that's why Bubba is the highest, has the highest odds. It's not necessarily speed, because Bubba's certainly had speed. I just don't trust Bubba if there's a problem. Let's just say Bubba goes to the rear, has a speeding penalty, he loses his mind. And for this, you actually need to have a little bit of bounce back in you. And the guys that have had that for sure are Denny Hamlin, Ross Chastain, Chase Elliott. I don't think William Byron's ever had an issue all year. I think he's just kind of ridden around in the top 5, like, hey, this is pretty easy, guys. and then, the guys like, I think Alex Bowman, if he comes back, I like a little value on him at 7 to 1 or 7.5. Oh, should I run through the odds of what?
Yeah, if you want to run through the odds real quick, and it does come with the caveat that we hung our own odds. We're not actually taking bets, although if Worm, you want to take bets, I'm sure people in the NASCAR community can reach out to you. Just make sure Worm puts it in escrow, because he might not be good for it. But the goal is to try and incentivize some of these books that are either partners of NASCAR or big prominent shops to maybe hang odds that are out there, because this is a market they can book, because the outcome will be determined on the track. And, it comes with a little bit of nuance, probably easier to do head-to-heads each week than to create an outright market. But if this is going to grow in popularity and Denny continues to push it, I mean, I think this is the next evolution. So run through the odds in terms of what you set. We've kind of bookended things with Ross Chastain as a favorite and Bubba Wallace as the long shot. But if you want to run through drivers 2 through 7 and some of the thought process that goes through all of them, when we can kind of put a bow on this fictitious exercise of sorts that we hope gains a little bit of traction.
So William Byron, we have at 4.5 to 1, Denny Hamlin, 5 to 1, Chase Elliott, 5.5 to 1, Alex Bowman, 7.5, Kevin Harvick, 7.5, Brad Keselowski, 7.5, and then Bubba Wallace is 12 to 1. So, and then Ross is the favorite at 4 to 1. And I guess here's kind of the thought process behind, you know, why Bubba's the highest odds, in my opinion, or the biggest dog, just because of his Sonoma. Like, you still have to win at Sonoma. And usually there's less issues at Sonoma. If someone drives off the track, they're still able to kind of continue the race. You know, William Byron has had speed all year. I anticipate him, you know, he has, you know, Kevin Harvick. I make him a pretty big favorite over Harvick at the Coke 600. Again, not as much as I normally would, just because that extra stage that you have in the race. I still like Byron in that. And then you have Hamlin over Bowman. I'd make Hamlin a slight favorite over Bowman, but not by much. Now, we're assuming Bowman's going to be in the car. If Barry's in this, well, just chuck this out the window, because I wouldn't
This was a hybrid price, more so assuming that Bowman was going to be behind the wheel of the car about 75% of the time. If it was Josh Berry, that number would drop below Bubba Wallace.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Bubba would be a heavy favorite over Barry. You know, that kind of leaves, I would assume that Hamlin moves on at Charlotte and goes up against Byron, where I would make Byron a favorite over Hamlin at Gateway, just based on speed in his race car. And Denny likes to make mistakes, and eventually those are going to catch up to you. I mean, he ran a perfect race at Kansas and barely beat Kyle Larson. So he does have speed in his car, but I don't think he's as fast as those Hendrick guys. So that would be the bottom part of the bracket. The higher part of the bracket, which would has Ross up there. I think Ross beats Brad if just kind of it normally plays out. He was really, really good at Charlotte last year. And I think that Chase Elliott beats out Bubba, just because I just don't think Bubba can overcome issues at this point. And I think Chase is a little bit better of putting an entire race together than Bubba is. So that gives us Ross and Chase, Byron and Hamlin. I give Byron the nod at Gateway just based on Ross speed and Hamlin's issues. I give Ross the nod at Gateway over Chase. And that gives us a Ross Denny Hamlin, or gives us a Ross Byron final at Sonoma. So that's kind of how we came up with that. Kind of a fun little exercise to do.
And no doubt about it. And for anybody that's listening there and they want to have a little bit of dialogue back and forth, we know it's a relatively slow race weekend, all things being relative. You know, we can stew over this for about the next 10 days. We've already put pressure on the NASCAR spaces to bring this up next Wednesday. So we'll see what kind of great information people can lend there. But just wanted to have a little bit of fun with something that's gained some traction amongst NASCAR fans. And obviously this was the perfect week to be able to do so. As far as, you know, assessing some of the individual race teams, looking at some of the drivers, and maybe we can come into next week for stage two and discuss what we've seen from a lot of these guys in terms of how we'd assess their performance at almost a made up synthetic de facto mid season point going into one of the crown jewel races. So green, white checkered flag on stage two for the Dirty Mo outright prices bracket. And Wormser, we can go into handicapping North Wilkesboro for stage three. When we look at the history of this track, we're returning here for the first time since 1996. Bill Clinton was the president back then, and Los Del Rios had the country's number one song with the unforgettable song that I know you danced to back in the day, the Macarena, when we were at North Wilkesboro. 0.625 mile oval. And when you look at who the last winner was here, probably like everybody throughout the mid-90s, you have one guess. You're going to guess Jeff Gordon, and you would be absolutely correct when he won the Tyson Holly Farms on September 29th. As far as the All-Star format, it's a little bit different than a traditional race. Thanks to winning a race in 2022 or 2023, or having won the All-Star race or a cup title and being a full-time driver, there are 21 drivers who have automatically earned a spot in Sunday night's main event. There are two drivers who can race their way in through heats, and then one driver will get voted in for his chance to compete. No formulas, though, no points, no inversions. We're just racing to showcase the venue with a competition caution coming at lap 100, and you're allowed to use one additional set of tires for that final 100 laps. Recent winners of the All-Star race, Ryan Blaney last year in Texas, Kyle Larson the year before. In 2020, it was Chase Elliott grabbing the checkered flag in Bristol. In 2019, Kyle Larson, and in 2018, and Kevin Harvick. Both Larson and Harvick accomplished the feat at Charlotte Motor Speedway, and the prize remains the same. $1 million going to the winner. So, Wormser, when you look at the All-Star race, are you happy going to a new track, the challenges it provides, potential comps, and obviously with no inversions or flipping the field, maybe we get something to play a little bit more true to what the practice and qualifying will tell us?
Well, I think that there's just so many unknowns with how this racetrack's going to chew tires that they really couldn't do anything gimmicky. I mean, it was like, hey, let's just get this thing. Let's just put the race together. So that I'm excited for. And I'm also excited for, you know, kind of an old school nostalgic track. Now, this is obviously way before I was involved in racing. And I thought I was going to be so clever and look back at who won the last race in 1996. Oh, I'm going to do all this great research. So I look back. Oh, Jeff Gordon won. And, you know, I knew Gordon, you know, from like 2010 on. Okay. So I didn't know him when he was really good. So I'm going to find I am going to handicap the hell out of this race, and I'm going to have a winner. I'm going to go back. I'm going to look who won this race, and it was Jeff Gordon. I'm going, okay, where else was he good? Okay. Gordon was good everywhere.
Yeah. Like, I was going to say, there's the answer. You don't host Saturday Night Live as a Cup Series driver because you're winning one race every year.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than just a car. It's the two-door coupe that was there for your first drive. The hatchback that took you cross-country and back. And the minivan that tackles the weekly carpool. For the cars you couldn't live without, trust Amica Auto Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Yeah, I thought that, man, he won a ton of races, Todd. I know that I have always known that, but until you actually go back and look, it's like, well, he was good everywhere. I mean, he led laps at every single track. So at that point, you know, without loop data stats as well, it was really tough to kind of discern who was better, why they were better. And so at that point, I was like, you know what, why don't we just let this week unfold, procrastinate a little, and then, you know, with a full 50 minutes of practice, hopefully we can kind of see, you know, who's going to be good over the long run, and then maybe a couple of guys that I think that have a chance at winning on the long run, and then a couple of guys I think are really going to struggle over the long run. That's my approach for the weekend.
What has kind of been the way that you've tackled all-star races in the past? I mean, do you go in and build a full race card with some of the unique formulas and quirks that have been there? Do you take a slightly more conservative approach? And do you hope, knowing that there aren't any bells and whistles to this, that we are going to get a 50-minute practice, you're going to see a lot of these cars on track on Saturday, that it's going to run a little bit truer than you expected? Or is there some level of apprehension? Because even with a 50-minute practice, you may not get some of those long runs to understand exactly how these cars will respond at lap 20, at lap 50, or lap 100.
Well, usually when there's a gimmicky formula, I do like to, usually I'm a little bit more aggressive understanding the formula, I think a little bit more than odds makers when it came to when they had a softer tire that had more grip early. And then, so they've done all sorts of crazy things, or inverting the field, and okay, who's that going to help or hurt? But this week it's nice because, hey, I think practice is going to be really indicative of what we see in the race. I think with 50 minutes, you might see 50, 60 lap runs just to see what happens. I do think that this will play out just like a pretty typical race with just a stage in the middle. Now, if all of a sudden we start to see tire issues in practice, or we start to see, you know, I don't know what we could see. So I'm just going to kind of reserve my judgment until then. But I certainly think that a long run car wins the race. And I think it'll play out, the strategy will play out much closer to Richmond, where you have guys that short pit to try to steal track position and then try to hang on late. You'll also see guys that are really good on the long run, run really long, and then take tires after, and then be charging from the rear with those fresher tires. And those are the guys that I think have the best advantage. I do not think that the long run guys will drive through the field. I think, like on the long run, I think what they're going to end up doing is staying out longer, using that advantage on the backside of when they have tires. It's exactly what Denny Hamlin did at Richmond. I remember I went into that pretty in our race recap about exactly how he was able to do that. I think the guy that can basically manage fall off, get tires after everybody else, and then be a couple tenths a lap faster for that, you know, last little 30 or 40 lap stint, I think that they have the best chance at winning.
No, it makes a ton of sense because clearly this is the kind of race that you can gamble. It's obviously not points paying. You either finish first or you finish last. There's no in between here. Nothing else matters. And when you look at some of the odds that are out there, you see three drivers, pretty much consensus favorites, if we want to use that term, price in the single digit range. That would be Kyle Larson, Christopher Bell, and Martin Truex Jr. And then you may as well throw everybody else into the same bucket, the likes of William Byron, Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin, Ross Chastain, Chase Elliott, Kyle Busch, Joey Logano, etc., all anywhere from low ends of 12 to 1 upwards of 20, and then the usual suspects will check in behind them. So when you're looking at this, odds makers are in quite the pickle as well, trying to figure out exactly how this race is going to go, where they need to price these drivers, and I think we could see some pretty aggressive adjustments get made after you see practice, which, of course, you've done great job of educating our audience in the past. When you're looking at things now, nobody has track history to go off of. Is this the kind of race where you go, you know what? I think Kyle Larson, if he goes out there and crushes his pre-race setup, he can go from 7-1 down to 4.5-1, but there's nobody else in the mix who's going to see their odds really get cut in half. Like you highlighted last week with Martin Truex, goes out there, wins the pole. His odds move from 8-1 to 7.5-1, and 19 had a very capable race-winning car.
Yeah, you definitely have to understand where the market is going to go, but I'm curious this week, just with the tires wearing out so much, if we could see someone like a Kevin Harvick go from 10-1 down to 4-1, you know, just if he does the Harvicking like he used to do at Atlanta, where he was just basically toying with the field for the first 20 laps of a run, and then he would just be half a second a lap faster. I think that there could be something like that, but I'm not quite sure. We'll have to see what happens in practice. There is another interesting Betfred just posted pit stop challenge winner. So they have, there's a pit stop challenge to determine.
That's how they're setting the qualifying order, I believe, for the heats.
Oh yeah, qualifying for the heats, perfect. So yeah, Chastain's the favorite at 5-1. William Byron 5-1. Larson 6. Bubba 10. Denny 10. Harvick 10. Suarez 12. Joey Logano 12.
Can I bet and Denny Hamlin to finish last and have a loose?
Yeah, I was going to say. Can you bet like penalty? Yes, no penalty. Like
they say, you can't get a pit road speeding penalty for this challenge. So the 11 correct. Can get that wrinkle taken out of the mix. But it would be interesting to go back and look at how these green flag 4-tire stops have gone this year. I assume that's exactly how books have kind of set the odds. But at the same time, if you feel that there's a little bit of a nuance, a wrinkle, of course, a lower limit market, but could be a little bit of a fun way to get yourself involved, especially you being a huge IndyCar guy that you are. I know you look forward to the Carb Day Challenge and the pit road situation that Indy has made very popular over the last couple of years as part of the 500 festivities.
Well, let's just say this. I went to Indy 500 and the Coke 600 last year. I did the double. And this year, I'm only going to the Coke 600. So, that'll just go to show you how impressed I was with. Listen, the Indy 500 is awesome. I think you got to go see it. The pageantry is great. Everything is just so patriotic. I love it. But man, walking in and seeing those cars rip multiple grooves and a ton of passing at Charlotte was like, okay, this is real racing. So excited for that. But I don't really have anything in the pit stop stuff.
There's no reason to try and throw a couple darts there. I mean, I'm sure if you come up with something, you'll be able to share it, you know, on social media. And obviously the same way that we feel about trying to handicap the race in general, I'm not going to encourage anybody to go run and bet a head-to-head matchup just yet. We could see the market shift, may have something in the outright market that we can give people a little bit of pre-week action there, but did want to get your take. And we know oftentimes talk about the other series, that of course being the Xfinity that won't race this weekend in the truck series, but you do have some high profile names that are in the truck race, and it's Kyle Larson, William Byron, and Christopher Bell, who are rightfully inserted as favorites. Larson a slight favorite depending on the book, ahead of the truck regulars like Zane Smith, Ty Majeski, Grant Enfinger, Corey Heim, and Bubba Wallace a little bit further down the list. I think he's still actually trying to finish the Darlington truck race where we bet him in the outright market last week, but that's a different discussion for a different day. You know, trucks wise, anything of interest there, or same kind of thing that you want to wait, see practice, and then maybe look to try and tangle with some of the cup guys stepping down in class to race the truck regulars?
Well, I do have an old favorite running in this race. Old Norman Benning in the six truck will be out there. So I'm excited about having him in the race. He just cracks me up whenever he, you know, reached his arm out the window and flipped off whoever it was in the dirt race a long time ago. He holds a little special spot in my heart, but I do not see Norman winning this race at all.
He is the biggest long shot on the board, by the way, Norm Benning, the biggest long shot on the board at the book I am currently looking at. And there are so many zeros right now that I can't tell if that's 1,000 to 1 or 10,000 to 1.
It doesn't matter. I'll tell you what, I'll give you 10,000 to one if you'd like. And anyway, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see just with tire fall off. I will say this. Chris Bell interests me a little bit more than Kyle Larson at this point. I just think that Hattori's been a little bit faster than Spire, the stuff that they've had. So, but also, you know, I think that you could say Kyle Larson's the best driver in the world right now. So it's going to be hard to kind of handicap this until we see practice and qualifying. I just like guys that are methodical and, you know, that it could be a guy like Crafton or, you know, I just don't know at this point, but it'll be interesting. And I love the fact that these drivers are getting experience at this track. I think it's awesome. I wish more guys were going to be in there. And even Ross Chastain, I know that he hasn't been fast in his Nice Motorsports stuff, but man, if he manages his stuff, you could get a nice little payday on Ross. So it'll be interesting. Definitely gonna wait till after practice though.
Yeah, it should be a fun race weekend. I know a lot of the NASCAR purists out there are thrilled to see North Wilkesboro back on the schedule. And I think, look, the Cup Series is going to use this as a litmus test. If the All-Star race goes well, I'm sure it'll be considered as a potential points-paying race going forward. I don't envy the traffic egress either in or out of the venue. So for anybody that's going, from all the people in NASCAR that I've spoken to, the stories that I've heard, unless you have access to a helicopter, I'll pack an extra 30 case to try and drink in the parking lot before or after, because you may be stuck there until the wee hours of Monday morning. I'm not quite sure they're ready for the onslaught of bodies and or motor vehicles that are going to be making their way to this nice little hamlet.
You heard it here first. Todd Furman encouraging drinking and driving.
No. I am encouraging these individuals sitting in the tailgate to do the drinking.
Okay.
Draw straws for the designated driver. I would never encourage that level of reckless behavior. How dare you put words into my mouth? But I'm going to put words into yours, because we're going to go from here into the best bet portion of the program. And you know what, Worm? It's an all-star weekend. So, you know, this is the kind of week where an actual all-star should make a pick. So I can't have you decide to plunk down your cash and put your reputation on the line. I'm going to step into the hot seat here, and I'm not going to give you a top three. I'm not going to give you a top five, not a head-to-head matchup. I'm going to give you a little bit of a nibble in the outright market. And when we go to a track for the first time, we have seen this driver excel, whether it's based on strategy or figuring things out from a nuanced standpoint or something else faster than the rest of the competition. So I'm going to give you a little taste of Joey Logano, 16-1. I think I've seen some prices slightly better out there on the 22. And look, we've talked about the 22 struggles. He hasn't brought speed week in, week out by any stretch of the imagination. But we've been to two short tracks this year, and somehow he's been able to produce finishes. Finished second at Martinsville with a car that wasn't better than probably a top 15 car. Finished seventh at Richmond as well. And when we talk about, you know, short pitting, we talk about tire wear and some of the unique ways that you may be able to put yourself into contention. I'm not afraid to have a partial position on Joey Logano to go out there and give everyone a nice big shit burger to eat.
Yeah, well, that too, and he's aggressive. And the other thing too is, you know, we give Logano a lot of the credit there, but I mean, his car was great last year at the Clash. I mean, clearly the best car, and he was awesome the first time we ran at the dirt at Bristol. So,
and
you know,
Gateway.
Is some of that
we went Gateway the first time we went
and,
there too.
And yeah, Gateway. So yeah, there's like kind of that inaugural track luck that he's had, and I know a couple other people have kind of mentioned him to me. But you know, we might be just overlooking the fact that Paul Wolf might just be a little bit ahead of the curve on these setups, because he was a rocket at Gateway last year and was able to pull out a win. So, you know, don't forget that I still think he's kind of the smartest guy in the pit box, when it comes to strategy. So I don't know. I like it. You know, you're giving me Joey Logano, a two-time champion at 16-1 and at a new track where he's won the last three races at new tracks. So I'm all for it.
And the one thing I will say too, we've talked at great lengths about how Ford seems to be a little bit behind the rest of the competition with Aero. I don't think that'll be nearly as pronounced at a short track as we've seen so far as Correct. It will be at mile and a half. So let's hope the Fords run well this week and we can fade them in the Coke 600 next week, unless it's drivers that have a pedigree to be able to give us a little bit of opportunity. So of course, this is a much smaller position when you're betting a driver at 16-1. I would say for those folks who try and pay close attention to their position strengths, a quarter position at best here to have a little pre-week action. And more importantly, you know, if something does pop for us through practice, whether it be for the trucks or the cup, we'll try and share that with all of you guys. Most likely the cup side, those truck markets aren't all that liquid. And I know Worm likes to blow those things up on his own without the help of all the loyal Stay Green listeners out there. But all right, buddy, anything else you'd like to share with our loyal listenership before we close up shop and we come back for the longest race on the cup schedule next week with the iconic clash that we see year in, year out, the most patriotic race in all of motorsport coming in from Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Yeah, I'm going to be there, I guess. Well, not this week at North Wilkesboro. I was going to go, but man, just the horror stories of like, you got a helicopter. It's like, do I have
you're a helicopter guy. You're a guy that's got a helicopter or access to a helicopter. Yeah, right. I'm sure there's about 8 or 9 people in your phone that if you go, hey, look, can I borrow your chopper for the weekend? They'll be able to get you in and out as fast as anybody else.
Yeah. So I'm passing on North Wilkesboro, but looking forward to headed to Charlotte for the 600.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to being back same time, same place next week with a little bit more traditional track for us to break down and share a lot of our drivers to watch, those to bet on, those to fade as we break down the 4-stage marathon that is the Coke 600. So you can follow Chris on Twitter at ChrisWormy15. I'm Todd Furman. You can follow me there. Most importantly, follow the podcast at BetTheBoardPod. Download, rate, review, subscribe, not just to Stay Green, but the college football content, our NFL offseason podcast that's now live, and of course, the weekly episodes of Cardboard Chat that are out there. And I'm sure come this time next week when Joey Logano gets a DNF, Worm will be the first one to let me know. That's why he gets to offer up the best bets on this program. But I'll be rooting for the 22. Hopefully you guys will root there right alongside me as well. Enjoy the All-Star Race from North Wilkesboro on Sunday night. And with a 22 ticket in hand, hopefully we'll see you at the window. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Bet the Board ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus and Apple Podcasts. But before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at Wondery.com/survey.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.